Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now that the shape of Micheál Martin's top team is clear, what does it tell us about the political priorities of the incoming government and how prepared are they to tackle the headwinds that are heading our way? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by a panel now. We have former Thánaisteáin Labour Party leader Joan Burton. We have Chief Executive of Friends of the Earth, Oisín Coughlan, and political correspondent with the Irish Times, Jack Horgan-Jones. And Jack, I'll start with you. Mary Lou MacDonald from Sinn Féin described the cabinet picks as male and pale. Were there expectations of a fair gender split, given that there were more women elected in November than in any other previous Dáil?
The expectation was certainly that we would have the same number of women with full cabinet positions as in the last government. So that would be four women. But we've fallen one short of that. There are only three women, and it's been widely remarked upon this morning already that there are as many men named James at the cabinet table as there are women holding full cabinet portfolios. So the expectation was predicated on the assumption that Mary Butler would be promoted from her Minister of State role to a full cabinet portfolio, and she had been expected to land in the Department of Children. That has ended up going with the only Fianna Fáil woman to hold a full cabinet portfolio, Norma Foley, and Mary Butler has been appointed Chief Whip. And I would imagine that would be to the forefront of Fianna Fáil's defence when they are explaining the gender balance that they have within the cabinet team. They will be saying that Mary Butler will be attending cabinet, but I'm not sure how far that will go, because that simple kind of very easily understood headcount and the issue of the three Jameses is something that the opposition have alighted on immediately. I mean, it was clear. I was up in the press gallery looking down on Mary Lou MacDonald delivering her speech in response to the appointments of ministers yesterday, and it was the very first thing that she alighted on. It was clear that she was going to make this front and centre of her critique of government. The Social Democrats weren't far behind issuing a press notice on it. And it is also the case now that a lot of the advocacy groups in this area, Women for Election and so on, have come out to discuss it. It's interesting as well, because I suppose it shows in some ways that Micheál Martin, while he was very steady as she goes during the term of the last government, he did spring surprises when naming his initial cabinet picks back in 2020, showing that he wasn't going to be overly governed by the maxims that usually dictate cabinet choices, i.e. gender, geography and a few other factors thrown into the mix when he passed over Dara Cailleary. So this time he has dropped Charlie McConnell, so that's a geographic choice, and obviously chosen to only go with one full cabinet portfolio given to a woman.
All right, well, let's talk a little bit more about the gender issue now. Joan Burton, we interviewed Micheál Martin here during the election campaign, and at the time we asked him whether he would attempt to split roles according to gender if he was elected. Now, he said no to that. Is that good enough, though, from a party leader?
Well, I think it's a bit of if in doubt, leave them out on Micheál Martin's part as regards women, because it's astonishing that the volume of women has actually gone down, and that we have all of the pictures in the different papers today, and they're showing men largely dressed in kind of blue-grey suits and their nice ties. And you just have to go and try and pick out the women. And we have two super juniors in the sense of Mary Butler and Hildegard Nocton. And we just now have has gone from the cabinet. I'm just astonished, actually, and I think it does nothing for Micheál Martin's relationship with, if you like, women around the country who are simply looking for, if you like, a fair shake and to see people like them represented in government. That's what it's about. That's what we tell our children in school. That's what juniors in school, particularly girls, are looking at now in terms of reading history and so on. How did women emerge and what were women doing? And the answer in this particular cabinet is that women have really been, and I'm sure Micheál Martin may not have intended it, but they've really been rather demeaned and belittled.
You know, there is that thing of, and you mentioned it there when we're talking to girls in school, if you can see it, you can be it, and setting an example. But is there another reason why it's important to have gender balance at the very top in politics?
Yes, because, and I think the key issue is that life experiences for men and women are different. And they often have different paths in terms of careers, different paths in terms of study. And if you have a good mix of the population so that you're representing the whole of the population, and women are half of the population, men are roughly half of the population, I think there's a larger population of women, they ought to have equality in terms of representation in the highest offices in the country. Because after all, that's what determines. It's the people who make it to cabinet, who make it into government, who are able to determine what the, if you like, the next kind of policy development will be. And if the in making the government, you've decided to be honest, mm-hmm. be rather insulting to women, what does that say about the confidence of women in terms of what a senior politician has done in terms of government making?
Right. I want to bring in Oisin Coughlan at this point from Friends of the Earth. So Oisin, we have Dara O'Brien now, who will hold this portfolio of transport, climate, environment and energy. Do you welcome that appointment?
Well, look, Dara O'Brien is a heavyweight cabinet figure. He's held a senior ministry for the last 5 years, but he doesn't have much of a track record on climate. So the question would be, is he prepared to propose challenging policies that disrupt business as usual? Will he champion climate action? That's going to be the test, and it's just hard to say. The people who know most about climate, who are knocking around and available, James Lawless, Hildegard Nocton, Timmy Dooley, Charlie McConnellogue, not many of them made cabinet, as we've just been discussing. And of course, ministers, former ministers, Richard Bruton, Eamon Ryan, are gone. So on the people side, it's just not clear how strong this cabinet will be. And then, of course, on the party side, it's my experience over 20 years that governments that have a smaller social democratic left of centre party, whether it's the Greens or Labour in my time, are stronger on climate. They're more likely to have champions on climate action.
And tell me, do you see a contradiction when a minister holds the energy and climate portfolios?
No, not necessarily. I mean, energy is a huge part of the transition, but it's not the only part, obviously. I mean, he also holds transport. Those are two really big parts of we also need to do buildings and we also need to do agriculture. So this minister, as Minister Ryan did, holds kind of half of the big sectors that need to transition as part of it. But there may be a contradiction between the fact that this government is talking about more roads rather than the transition on public transport and the public transition away from car dependency that the last government talked about, and he's both responsible for transport with Sean Kenny as a junior minister who voted against the climate law. As a super junior minister, he voted against the climate law 4 years ago. So there may be a test of wills there as to whether which comes first, the climate law, which they've signed, mm-hmm. which they've recommitted to, or the things they say they'd like to do.
All right, well, Jack, Dara O'Brien's appointment seems to be the biggest surprise here, doesn't it? Like his move from housing in general terms and the decision to give that to James Brown.
Very much so, yeah. I think that there was an argument for continuity in housing just because of the primacy, I suppose, it has among the very main challenges faced by the government. But there was a sliver of a chance, I think, across last week. It was kind of whispered that he may be moving, and the suggestion was that he could join the list of hopefuls for the Department of Justice, but I think that there were probably too many people ahead of him in that queue, so the logical place for him to end up was in transport, energy, environment and climate change. And I think that Oisin is right. I think that it's hard to tell from this vantage point exactly the emphasis this government is going to put on climate matters. Because when you read through the programme for government, there is an element of kind of Boris Johnson's classic cakeism there. You know, there's a little bit for everyone. And there are a lot of headline commitments to climate policy. Cara Augustenberg, the professor in environmental policy at UCD, has kind of totted these up. And there's actually more climate commitments in this programme for government than there was in the last one. But there's also a vagueness there that I think has been much remarked upon. There's a room for manoeuvre for the government, which means that I think it's difficult to project exactly what the climate outcomes are going to be. And when it boils down to choices, to binary choices between things like active travel investment or spending on roads infrastructure, I think that's that's the point when you can begin to make the assessment of this government's kind of commitment, I suppose, to climate policy, and whether it's one of continuity from the last government or whether there's a change, both in terms of rhetoric and emphasis, but also in terms of policy intent and outcome.
Mm-hmm. So that decision then, given what you've said about the commitments in the programme for government, not to have a more prominent department that deals with climate is perhaps a surprise, Jack?
Well, not necessarily, no. I mean, the breakup of the green portfolios was expected. The big change within the former Eamon Ryan stable of portfolios, he of course held two cabinet positions, strictly speaking, is that communications has been hived off, and energy, environment, and climate change remains in its old home. And communications has gone across to media with the incoming minister there, Patrick O'Donovan, to create a kind of, it's actually a pretty heavyweight kind of regulatory infrastructure department, which is going to have responsibility for all the things that it used to have in arts and culture and media. So things like Commissioner and Demand, but now ComReg, the MBP, things like making good on the Programme for Government commitment to tackling scam texts and so on. So that's a pretty big one as well. I think it was always expected that climate would kind of remain in the broad space that it was before. Mm-hmm. So not a massive surprise that it's stayed there.
Okay. Can I come back in on that?
Yeah, very briefly, Oisin.
I mean, I don't think that the department has been downgraded. It still has climate, energy and environment and a whole other department of transport. So it's not a small brief. In fact, there's a question. Dara O'Brien was in charge of nature, weirdly, in the Department of Housing. Will he bring that with him and actually have nature in the Department of Environment, where most of it would presume it already is, but it's not. So
okay.
I think the real question will be, will they actually obey the law that they have signed up to? And there's really interesting court cases showing that the courts are interpreting the law quite strongly and will hold them to account, as will the Parliament, hopefully, if they don't.
Oisin Coughlan, Joan Burton and Jack Horgan-Jones, thank you very much. Lots of pictures coming in now of storm damage, and I can tell you I'm seeing pictures of sheets of galvanised down streets. There are trees across entrances. There's scaffolding down, as I said earlier. Garden walls lying in the garden. Keep them coming in. 0870 32 32 32. Let us know where you are and we'll publish those pictures on social media. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.